This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Okay, Bobby Corella is going to join the Nosebleeds coming up at 8:20. Mavs fans, sweet. MFFLs. That'll be an amazing segment. Yeah, the Nosebleeds, 8:20 with Bobby from Mavs.com.
I saw some stuff this morning on Luka that he was tweeting out about. And like the numbers on the pick and roll with Porzingis and the numbers on the pick and roll with Dwight Powell. And
I love it.
Like Luka in general, how elite he is in the pick and roll.
Yeah.
And somehow him and Dwight Powell is like astronomically good in the pick and roll.
Nice. Well, I'm looking forward to a full breakdown of that. It is the season to be jolly about the Mavericks, isn't it?
It is. I know you're looking at me. It's just when you say Dwight Powell,
I know.
Sugar plums don't dance in my
head. I know.
Yeah, I know. But it's Luka's part of the exchange. Like, Luka's so good at pick and roll, he's even making Dwight Powell look
and
good.
Maybe because Dwight Powell is Dwight Powell, it leads to a lot of easy dunks off of a pick and roll or whatever. But the like it's that points per possession stuff when you run pick and roll, and Powell and Luka is about as good as it gets.
Yeah, whatever the case, it is an amazing run. We'll talk more about the Mavs here coming up a little bit later on in the show. How about we take a look at what is on 1053thefan.com? Before we get there, though, I'm sorry. Jory Epstein, USA Today, here has a quote from Dak from today's practice. Why does Dak believe Jason's message is getting through to the Cowboys? Because I talked to each and every one of these individuals. The head coach's message is the one we're approaching each and every day with. Do you think that's Dak, the teacher's pet, or Dak giving us a window into what's really going on with the Cowboys? I think he's really good at kind of mimicking Jason Garrett's message just with a little bit more personality.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah, you agree
that
with
it's
that?
Mostly A.
Okay.
Yes.
Let's take a look at these headlines here. I mean, I'd love to believe it. I would. But I just think the proof that in the job that the coaches are doing when it comes to their message and their motivation is all over the way that they are playing. I don't think you can extricate the two and just say, oh, well, the players aren't playing well enough. Yeah, because they're not being coached or prepared well enough. I just don't think you can put this on the players when we know how well these players can play. Although, I'll assign some blame here, but I think with the right coach, with Nick Saban's mentality essentially, he would protect those players from even getting close to that mentality. That's my take on it.
Yeah, I think so too.
All right.
Yeah, I think you're
okay,
right.
How about we go to this headline on 105thefan.com, Amari Cooper on being in Dallas long term. I love it here is the headline. Like I just said, I want to be here. I just love this situation, my teammates. I just feel it's the place for me. I've approached this situation like if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Obviously, I'm more productive here than I was in Oakland, so why would I want to change things? And I think it'd be insane. You know, maybe if this team was a 4-win club and they were struggling and you had no head coach and you had no quarterback.
$25 million a year, I'll stay.
Yeah, but I mean, what's that have to look like for a star player to be like, yeah, I'd rather be on a team that's only talked about once per Sunday across all networks? I mean, it would be an amazing development, I think, if anybody wanted to leave this. And plus, I do believe that his situation is very insulated from fluctuation. Because what the Cowboys are going to do is they're going to shave dollars off of their payroll on the defensive side. They're going to keep the offense humming. They need Dak Prescott to have the image of an MVP-capable quarterback in order for the season tickets, in order for all the media attention. That is a very important part of their business plan. And not only is it important for their business plan, but it also matches up with what's going to win football games. You know what I'm saying? Offense is going to win the day. If you have to be bad at one, you would choose the defense. So for Amari Cooper, all the signs are pointing to a very long career as long as he can stay healthy.
Yeah, it seems like there's just a lot of nagging things. And I don't know, the ability to play through those things might change as you get older, but he is still young. Like Amari Cooper's 25 years old. And right now he's got, what, 971 yards? So he's on pace for 12 to 1300, give or take. Not a bad little year. If you took the over in Vegas, I think you'd be doing pretty well.
Yeah, I got to have a big finish to the season. I don't know. Do you think there's anything about his compensation package that's on the line here in these final four games plus playoffs?
Injury. I think injury could alter it. If the medical staff is giving you a thumbs up, then you're going to pay what the market says, and the market says that's $19, $20 million a year.
So I think my ideal way of approaching it would be to franchise tag him and see if he can stay healthy and see what our team looks like.
Draft you a receiver?
Yes.
Pretty early,
First
couple of rounds.
Yeah.
Play Gallup, Cooper, and that guy for a year and then see what you think.
Maybe I want to play all three, or maybe if Amari Cooper keeps getting hurt and that other guy is good enough. I don't think Michael Gallup is going to make the surge to be a true X receiver.
Wow, Gavin!
Yeah, I know. I'm his number one fan.
All year!
I think he's made an incredible leap. But
he's going to have 1,000 yards!
You got to have all the skills. Michael Gallup is a good go-get-it guy, right?
Y'all's bet on that.
950 yards, pizza party, and he's at 796, so I'm just scoping out venues. And
You miss two games?
Yeah, he would be a 1,200-yard receiver.
Beast mode.
Man, we're having a great year.
We are having a great year, Mike.
Offensively, they're having a good year.
Okay, what else is on 105.3thefan.com? By the way, salute to Christian Kirk for hitting the goalpost and getting up like it was nothing.
Oh.
He got blindsided. He got golden-tated by that damn goalpost, and it was nothing.
Kyler got him laid out. You know, those used to be in the front. Imagine that. Those used to be in the front.
I know.
I think in Canada, they're still in the front.
I have a question for you because you're into the big time numbers in football. Do they count like the drive where I didn't even watch? I went home. There were 6 minutes to go in the game, and I was at my parents' for Thanksgiving, and we wanted to go to a friend's house, and we're like, hey, so I didn't watch the fake drive where they threw to Dez Bryant for a touchdown, number 83.
Ventel Bryant.
So do those count? Like those all? Is there a place where they like say, look, void the numbers. These don't count. They didn't matter.
Oh, that'd be an interesting stat, wouldn't it?
I don't think they void it when it's out of reach.
These don't count.
I don't think so. The only thing that they discard is taking a knee. Outside of that, I believe they count them all.
Sounds like I might have a research project on my hands.
Yeah?
Unless you want to head that up, Mike.
Yeah.
I don't.
Okay.
I don't care enough about the Cowboys to do something like that.
Okay, what else
is
on?
If you ask me about a Mavericks thing to do, I will do it.
What else is on 105.3thefan.com? I did. Mine is assessing the title hopes of the Cowboys and Mavericks after a Thanksgiving of surprises. You know, to lose to Buffalo maybe wasn't the biggest surprise, but then the Mavericks beating the Lakers in L.A. over Thanksgiving weekend. You know, I think those things are significant. I would say now for the first time, I do believe the Mavericks have a significantly better chance of winning the championship this year than the Cowboys. I think it's like two ships passing.
Yeah.
One's going quickly towards an iceberg, and they need some magical, what is that? You're steering
you
the ship.
For?
You need some magical steering of the ship out of the way. Navigation. You need some magical navigation here to get out of the way of the iceberg.
That's interesting. I would say in each of their last games that happened.
Yeah.
That's where it happened.
Yeah.
Because if the Cowboys had gone to 7-5 and the Mavericks had lost to the Lakers, you'd be like, Cowboys, probably not. But, you know, crazier things could happen. And the Mavericks, you know, it's headed the right direction, but nah, of course not this year.
I mean, that record, if you take out the Knicks games, would be incredible. What would it be, 15-4? Is that what
we'd
be at?
Yeah, they're 13-6 right now. Even if you would have just split, if you would have just won the home game. That's how much it's changed for me, because after losing the second game to the Knicks and it was 2-3 games, it's just like, man, maybe I was getting really excited. Maybe I have to back off. If we're going to lose to the Knicks, then once the schedule gets tougher.
Yeah, like they were coming close back to 500.
Yeah, this road trip, I thought, well, this road trip, they never win in Phoenix, or at least they've struggled recently. You have L.A. and Houston on this. You're probably – and then they have New Orleans to finish. I thought, boy, if you go kind of 1-4 or so on this road trip, you're going to be right back at 500, and you're going to be fighting for 7th or 8th seed. And I'm like, maybe that's more realistic than – we're a top five team in the West. And then what they've done on this road trip makes you think, hey, maybe they can get home court advantage in the first round. Maybe they can sneak into that fourth seed.
Yeah, you know, I think you can look body for body and say, man, in a playoff series right now, they would need to have ridiculous things happen probably to beat the Lakers or the Clippers, right?
Yeah.
Would you say that? I think the offense could get so good that while you might feel overpowered on the glass and like, man, these are thoroughbreds on the other team and we got skinny guys running around trying to make plays, I think the offense and the Rick Carlisle flow could get so good that maybe you could overpower teams offensively. Yeah. But typically it's the muscle when the game slows down in the postseason that's going to win the day.
Yeah.
But the Mavs won their title against a team that was much more physically imposing than them. And for the first two games, it was a massive physical adjustment for that 2011 Mavs championship team to overcome.
I'm with you. And, you know, if you were to add a Tyson Chandler-like player to really help out the physicality, especially around the basket, Porzingis, he can't be that. But Porzingis improving, remember, he's played now 17 games. He sat out a game for load management, or he's played 18 games. Is what is he in game 45? What is he in game 55? You know, and I think Luka can keep improving too. As crazy as it is, as great as he is, the second best player when it comes to MVP votes right now, at least the odds are, it's Greek Freak, then Luka. What can he keep doing when he hits 21 years old in February? What can they do trade-wise? And just for that, Anthony Davis could almost get anywhere he wanted in the second half. The Mavericks did a much better job, and it just didn't seem like the Lakers were in it. As in, like, they really wanted to push through like it was a playoff game, you know, that where everything gets taken to another level. If you could get Blake Griffin, as Detroit keeps playing bad basketball, and that's going to be really hard to do. I'm not saying that's going to be easy to trade for people that are on Autoflex Leasing Fantex. I get it when we bring up his name. Like, there's nothing we can do to get him. You might be right. You might be when we call Detroit, they're going to be like, look, we have better offers than what you guys can. But if you could add Blake Griffin to that, and now all of a sudden the other team has to handle Blake Griffin at times, and Blake Griffin can be your probably second best player, Porzingis go to third best player. Now I would kind of go with you, Gavin, and go, hey, maybe as crazy as it sounds, with no playoff experience on this team except for Blake Griffin, who we've traded for, maybe we can run something crazy and be the first team almost in NBA history to have a guy at this age with lack of experience around him go deep in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think the circumstances set up to make it possible. And again, how much better will they get over the next 60 games with Rick? And what kind of trade they can make. I think that was a really good point. Like, because Tyson Chandler was kind of that 11's team. Like, he was their bodyguard. He was amazing.
Well, like, Mike, most years wouldn't, even if it's two of the best players in the world, if it's a new pairing with new teammates, would you consider them a favorite to win the title? Like, LeBron and AD in any other year but this year, would you see him as, whoo, they're winning
in the
it.
Last 5 years, it'd be very tough because you have the Golden State Warriors sitting there. But besides that.
And before that, it would have been.
The Miami Heat or San
And before
Antonio
that,
Spurs.
It would have been like there were all these different dynasties. It's really unique. Like, it's far-fetched. Yeah. But it is a unique year in that way.
Uh-huh. And I think somebody, 972's kind of calling us out and saying Golden State won with shooters and no muscle. I think you're mistaken
on that.
Draymond's
got muscle.
They had great veteran players.
Iguodala
Klay
had
Thompson
muscle.
Is probably your most physical two-guard defender in the NBA when healthy, Draymond. Yeah. You had Andre Iguodala, who at the time, especially early on with their best teams before KD, was very physical. Yes, he wasn't 6'10" and built like Andre Drummond or somebody like that, but they weren't a soft team. They shot a lot of threes, but that was not a soft team defensively.
Yeah, when they first kicked off their first couple of championships, they had the best defense in the NBA.
Yeah.
You know, they would flat out get after you on both ends of the court, and it wasn't even funny how badly they were beating their teams.
And LeBron did not go to the finals at Luka's age, 2-1-4. It took his first 2 years, he didn't even make the playoffs. It was his fourth year in the NBA that he went to the finals and got swept by the San Antonio Spurs. Somebody put that on Twitter, too, is like, you know, we're kind of comparing Luka's numbers to LeBron's numbers. And look, LeBron is arguably the greatest player in NBA history. At least he's up there in the conversation. Is LeBron wasn't doing near these things at 20 years old. The league has changed where you want guys to dominate the ball more. So when LeBron broke in the league in 2003 and then 2004, they didn't ask him to dominate the ball as much as now players are asked to dominate the ball if you're the best player. But LeBron wasn't doing these things at 20 years old.
No, it's a different NBA. You're right about that. And, you know, the three-point shooting, I don't know. I guess LeBron would have been capable of doing whatever he set his mind to as the game's best player, but he wasn't that kind of a shooter, especially when he got into the league. Elsewhere at 105 through thefan.com, Washington's Chris Peterson did resign unexpectedly shortly before our show started today, and their defensive coordinator Jimmy Lake is going to take over. There's a conspiracy out there if you want it for the Cowboys. There's a long track record of them liking Chris Peterson's players at Boise State. They took many of them. Kellen Moore played for Chris Peterson. If you were Jerry Jones and you believed in Kellen Moore, but Jason Garrett interfered with that, it would make a lot of sense that if you are, you know, thinking we want to go more with Kellen Moore, you bring in the guy that's going to give synergy to that. It's probably far-fetched to connect all those dots right now, but if it came together, it would make all the sense in the world. Like at a press conference, it would be like, oh, dude, it was an easy thing, and we liked Chris, and then Kellen talked about him, and it was a no-brainer. Considering he won at Boise, he kicked that party off over 10 years ago, and then he goes to University of Washington and brings that back to the 1990s level of where that program had been.
I'm with you in that you can draw a scenario where that all makes sense, but it would also be kind of weird for your future coach to know it before the Cowboys season has ended, before he's played his bowl game, before the Cowboys have talked about what other candidates are out there, because the only way that Chris Peterson is stepping down today is he knows he got the job.
Yeah.
If that's his reasoning, because his official reasoning is not health related, not family related. It's I kind of need a break.
Yeah. And he's got a press conference tomorrow.
Right.
So maybe he'll share more.
I mean, is it possible that the Cowboys have done all the homework on anyone they could possibly want to hire from anywhere in the NFL in season already, and they prefer Peterson to all of them, and they've already told him that, and so he's like, okay, it's possible.
Yeah.
But I would think that the organization would have a lot of work to do after the season ends before being like, hey, Chris, you're our guy.
It's also possible that he's burnt out at Washington.
Right.
There's a lot of pressure there in Seattle for that program.
There's a USC job that's probably going to be open. The Florida State job. Like, there's going to be other jobs open, too. So he will have suitors if he says, well, I do want to coach.
Yeah, maybe he's thinking, I don't know exactly what I want to do, but I do know I want to move on from this job here. We've done as much as we can. Who knows? But I would be excited about Chris Peterson if he became head coach of the Cowboys. There's great college football stuff in here. We'll have to get to it tomorrow on 105throughthefan.com. You can read about Big 12 champion could now have a more feasible shot at the playoff. Padres acquired Jurickson Profar from the A's today. And Jason Garrett made the announcement at his presser. We're practicing outside today. We're going to get toughened up for that trip to Chicago.
Isn't that maddening, though? Yeah. Like, that's reactionary from 1 week ago. You're admitting that 1 week ago I was dead wrong.
Pretty much.
And I didn't think about that detail.
Okay. Yeah, I hear you.
Isn't that?
Uh-huh. Best theory on how the Cowboys offense has lost their mojo a little bit. We'll talk about that next in the G-Bag Nation. Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. It is your home of the Cowboys and Rangers, 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a great day. Why has the Cowboys offense stalled out is the question. I think they're disappointing. I think Jeff's going to disagree with the premise in whole.
I'll fight you.
And we want your thoughts. If you want to text in or tweet, 877-881-1053 at GBag Nation. But, yeah, I do think the defense is a disappointment, but so is the offense this year. Segment's brought to you by the Frankels. And we're looking for your best theory on why, after so many years of having sustained at least efficiency, maybe not explosiveness, but they've been efficient, now I don't think they can get much work at all. I don't know how you can depend on them going even against a defense as good as the Bears, Rams, and I am kind of worried about that Eagles front. Segment on the Fan brought to you by the Frankels. If you're hurt in an accident, it's not your fault. Call the Frankels at 214-333-3333. Official lawyers of the Tolo, principal office, Dallas, Texas. Now, Bills, you had 15. Patriots, you had 9. Those are just the two most recent. Those are good defenses. You know, good offenses have been stifled by both of those teams so far this year.
Really had 7 on Thanksgiving.
Okay.
They gave you 8 at the end.
You're right. Vikings game, to me, was a train wreck. 0 points in the first quarter, 3 in the fourth, and you score when you're down multiple scores in the second and third quarter. Jets game, 9 points until the fourth. Packers game, owned. Saints game, offense owned. Dolphins game, that was the first signs of like, hey, what was that? A 10-point first half against Miami? This is kind of weird. So to me, 7 of the 12 games have had some sort of an element of disappointment, Jeff. So my thought was, why has that happened? And, you know, maybe that's average. You know, maybe, but after week one, I thought, boy, this thing is humming. And we even had a conversation like, could the Cowboys score 30 points per game this year? Right. And then their record for the franchise all time is like 32.9. It was way back in the day. They had an explosive offense at one point in the 70s. But obviously they have now grinded down, not to a halt, but it's very, very hit or miss. So, you know, I don't think that I do think we should consider there's bad luck in football. And they have had a lot of missed field goals, although I wouldn't call that luck. I would say they're making
preparing for the season.
Maybe they're making a business decision that they wanted a kicker at minimum, and they made a bad choice on the guy they brought in. And then they exacerbated the choice by not trying to find somebody else who could do it for me.
Since they had tryouts and nobody was good enough, I know this is going into the future again. You need to draft one in the fifth or sixth round. I mean, usually those guys don't even make the team anyways, like Mike Jackson or whatever. If there's a good kicker, and I know sometimes they don't work out, it's stupid to draft one in the second round, like it was a Tampa Bay, I think, did. But when you get late in the draft, if there are bad, if it's tough to find a decent kicker and the first or second best kicker in college football is available, why wouldn't you just say in the sixth round, yeah, we're going to take that dude. If it doesn't work out, it probably wouldn't work out with the backup offensive lineman we'd be taking there anyway.
So failure to prepare at kicker, failure to roster build at kicker, that's a reason. I think the turnovers, especially in the beginning part of the season at key moments, it's like, wow, that sunk a drive. Oh, wow, now Witten's going to let one go. That sunk a drive. I do think in a small sample size, over a 16-game season, bad luck could explain why a good offense is, you know, sputtering at times or has become inconsistent. I also want to throw out, I think it's possible the offensive line is just breaking down.
I won't fight you on that.
Injuries, number one, missing games, taking you away from 100%. But, you know, I don't know. I'm of the opinion that offensive line can usually play 32, 33, still at a Pro Bowl level. It doesn't require the quick twitch stuff that leaves you. It doesn't require being a damn ballerina. You just got to be really strong and solid. And that holds up typically into the 30s. And all three of the main guys are only 28. It shouldn't be this bad right now.
We got into this Friday, and I know that he's been a part of it for the majority, but Connor Williams probably will not start the season next year. It's going to be iffy if he's actually able to start week one next year. So
you'll need Connor McGovern.
Yeah, but now for the last four games, you got a guy who can't stand up once the ball is snapped. Like that's the goal of Sulafilo. Don't fall down for 3 seconds. Not keep the guy in front of you. Don't fall down.
I thought Joe Looney was a combo center guard.
So did I.
But we were told.
Is Xavier Sulafilo really better than him at guard? That'd be weird. But
Sulafilo's not good.
Yeah.
It's not good.
So then my other thing, remember in Oxnard when they were like, oh yeah, you know, it's not really that much different. We're just kind of combining two philosophies here. I think when you're trying to serve two different philosophies, as far as you're not getting the best of both worlds. You're not getting what it...
You're getting the neutered version of one of them.
Yes.
Right? That's kind of what you end up with?
That's the point I was trying to make, Jeff. So that's my best theories. If you got something better at G-Bag Nation, or you want to text in, or you're sitting over there as Jeff Kavanaugh and you just want to let me have it here across the console, go ahead. The floor is open, or we can change topics.
No, it's a fair point. I mean, they started off as one of those teams that was flirting with 30 points per game, and I've currently got them at 25.8, which is still top 10 offense, but it puts you at eighth, not like in the top five.
What's it since the first three games?
I don't know. What did they do? They did 37 Philly, 35
I'll do it quickly,
Detroit.
But take a little time.
Like the last two are bad, right? Your last two are 15 and 9, but before that it was 35, 24, 37, 37. So I don't think it's going to be too low. To me, I think it comes down to the turnovers in the field position, because these teams that are in front of you in points per game, there's one, two, three. Three of them are within 1 point of you, and on average they start 10 yards ahead.
It's all that
every
hidden yardage.
Drive.
You think that 10 yards makes that big of a difference?
Oh, absolutely.
Really?
Absolutely. Mm. If you have to convert an extra first down just to get in field goal range compared to the average football team, which that's how bad it is.
Yeah.
That's where they are.
That's the line between good and mediocre.
Yeah. I mean, you have to, on every drive, if you want to kick a field goal, you need 10 more yards than everybody else. And the odds of you making that field goal are lower than everybody else.
So your top theory on why this team is 6-6 and underachieving is the special team sucks?
I think it's a big
special
part of it.
Yeah, special teams really
that
important.
I do think it's a big, and I don't think it's that important. I think it's just important that you're not atrocious. And they're one of the only teams in the league that is absolutely atrocious at it.
They're at 23.66 if you take out
the first three games. So right around
where they were last year. So just a point and change worse. I think part of it is you're a horrible starting team. Now, they scored 7 points to start the game, then didn't score the rest of the game until it didn't matter. But if you look at what Michael Lombardi said a few weeks ago here on 105.3 The Fan when he joins Sean and RJ, he said one of the stats that you have to look at for the best teams is, are you leading at halftime? Like, that's one of the if you're leading at halftime, you will end up being one of the best teams in the NFL and usually be in the Super Bowl if you're kind of top five there. And so the Cowboys don't seem to know what time the game starts until they're midway through the second quarter. They'll usually start playing offense at that point. I don't know what it is about the first three possessions on offense, but usually the first three possessions on offense are not good possessions, and then they start getting some sort of rhythm to the game.
And I think that's the biggest reason that the coach is and should be under fire right now, is if you're starting that way, it speaks a lot to your preparation for the game.
Yeah.
I mean, you can point to and say, which we'll do every week, right? We'll go through individual plays and say what happened. But sure, on this play, you didn't do your job. On that play, he didn't do his job. But when we're pointing at 12 different guys and saying they didn't do their job, but from quarters two through four, once they got into the rhythm of the game, they were able to outplay the other team, then your team wasn't prepared to play, and that's your job.
Yeah.
So ultimately, you know, I think there's a maybe ton of things. Zeke's not quite the same. The offensive line isn't quite the same. They
new
start
OC?
Slow.
You want to throw a new OC in there? Rookie play caller? First.
I kind of like the new OC.
So do I.
I kind of like the new OC.
Nobody's perfect in year
and
one,
and we'll
though.
Never know, but I'm going to put the blame on him on the Minnesota game when they ran the ball twice, because we know Jason Garrett has admitted, I don't like talking to the person. So I assume that because Garrett is so upset that Kellen Moore is the offensive coordinator, that he tries to help him 0% during the game. He puts in his say-so Monday through Saturday on how the game plan should be and what he thinks should happen. But on Sunday, he leaves it all up to Kellen Moore on what to do because he doesn't like saying anything
and
during
that,
the game.
You know, to me, that comes back to two things. The offensive line getting smacked around on those two plays, and the bad luck factor that, holy crap, you know, we needed 2 yards and all of a sudden you're losing three. It's
a ton of things that add up to your team is not prepared well enough and your coach isn't good enough. Mm-hmm. Because even those plays when you've got a Pro Bowl offensive lineman, multi-time Pro Bowler, saying, well, we hadn't seen that front, so we weren't really prepared. Like, that was why they said they lost 3 yards on that play, was we hadn't seen that front, and so we did something wrong. And I'm sure it was Connor Williams that did something wrong, but either way, it's like we weren't prepared for that situation. We weren't prepared for this situation. We weren't prepared to score points in the first quarter. We weren't prepared is the answer.
The last time the Dallas Cowboys have had a coach that could take average to below average talent was the first year of Bill Parcells. That's it. Besides that, everything has been what it's supposed to be for the most part. You had tremendous talent for those teams that ended up doing what they did. But Bill Parcells took Quincy Carter, a bad offense, and an average defense, and turned that team from trash, 5-11, 3 years in a row, to 10-6. Still had the same trash talent on it.
Yeah, I believe he had him as the second-ranked defense, too.
Yeah. So, I mean, it just goes to show, if Jerry can hire the right coach, if you hire a really good coach, they can take average to bad talent and turn it into an above 500 team. Yeah. What can a good coach take that we think, and we could be wrong, we think this is above average talent in the NFL. There's too many people that think that's not us, that actually that's all
they
care about.
They've won with these players already.
Yeah. And so can they take it to 13-3 if you have the right people running these players?
I think so. Absolutely. I mean, we praise good coaches when they're amazing. We idolize them. We build statues of them. And these guys could do all this. He could take his and then beat yours and then take yours and beat his. And we make up stuff all this about. But when we have an average one or a bad one, all of a sudden we don't want to talk about it. Like, oh, you know, it's just the way the game goes.
All coaches are the same except Bill Belichick. Nobody could do anything different.
I mean, there's a massive sliding scale. Okay, we ran a poll because I'll tell you what. A lot of the social media activity over the Thanksgiving weekend for me was about – how the Mavericks are ascending and how the Cowboys are declining right now, and how much should we talk about them? You know, internal discussions here, but also Tolos and MFFL saying, man, you need to transition and not talk about the Cowboys and all this. So we ran a poll at GBag Nation on Twitter. I wanted to see, because we can see in North Texas at large in the TV ratings, it's somewhere between 15 and 40 to 1, depending on the game, how much more people want to watch the Cowboys than the Mavericks. But what about just inside the GBag Nation or just with Tolo? So we ran a poll at GBag Nation on Twitter. What do you want to hear during this time of the year in sports? And Cowboys Talk did win the poll. It got 41%. But getting 22% was the top DFW sport of the day, story of the day. And then any sports discussion got 32%. And that one, I don't know if I worded it properly, but I just meant like, you know, national sports, local sports, whatever's
relevant. Got to rerun the poll now.
Yeah, you're just
coming. That wasn't specific enough.
Oh, and then other was 5%. So you combine those 37, 59 to 41, kind of tuning in for, hey, whatever's interesting and relevant in the day of sports, that's what I'm coming in for. I think that other 5%, they just love us. You know, they just like us.
Probably way into Sasquatch stuff, you think?
Yeah, Sasquatch
teachers,
and barbecue.
What they're doing with the kids.
Oh, by the way, made an amazing turkey. How was your bird? Holy
amazing.
Yes. So I think my the maybe the two most important things, I brined it again with a Meat Church's bird bath.
You must brine.
When did you get it defrosted? Yeah.
About 12 hours before the cook.
Okay.
The only thing that stopped mine from being perfect is I did not have the Meat Church brine because I wasn't prepared in time.
Okay.
And so I ended up having to go with a generic brine that was like an apple something.
Okay.
But outside of that, the bird was perfect.
So I used that, and then I used Meat Church's new Holy Voodoo rub. It's like a Cajun rub, so it kind of gave me a Cajun turkey. And then I pulled that bad boy at 160. So you're done.
Okay, you pulled early.
Yeah.
Okay.
I read one guy, he's like, listen, you let that thing rest, it's going to climb to 165 on its own. Just don't cut it immediately if you pull it at 160.
Oh, plus you spatchcocked. I feel like your heating was, you were good.
Rip the spine out with the spatchcocking, and then you hammer the breastplate to smush it down to get all, you know, more level cooking surface.
That's
on
good.
It.
Yeah, I just went. I went the gospel. I didn't have access to the Holy Voodoo. So it sounds like you just you out Whataburgered me with your extras.
Yeah. I had, you know, last year I thought I had the perfect bird recipe figured out. Then the actual big day came around and I totally screwed it up. Wasn't as good as my trial bird. So I felt like this was a redemption. It was a Thanksgiving of redemption.
That's good.
Me.
So you ended up feeling good about it.
Yeah.
You got rave reviews.
Oh, dude. Oh, almost forgot. So I finished the bad boy in the oven, right?
What?
Because
you smoked the turkey. You don't need the oven.
Well, when it was done, I had about 2 hours until dinner time, okay. I thought. So I put it in one of those big aluminum trays, and then it just sat there at like 170. And most of the time, I had the door slightly ajar, right? I was just trying to keep it warmed up a little bit. Well, in the process of it sitting there for a couple of hours, a layer of juice formed at the bottom of this pan.
Oh, that sounds great.
Make some gravy with it?
No. I get the bird out. I carve the bird. And then I take the juices, and as the turkey is sitting in the serving dishes, I kind of lightly sprinkle over just a little bit with those juices. So the turkey then re-soaks in the juice and the flavor.
Oh, look at him go.
It was
look
like,
at him go.
It was like a juice of, you know, just regular fluid, fat, and that Cajun rub.
He was getting in your bag, huh?
Dude. Look at him go.
You beating your chest.
Set it off.
He cares about this way more than Cowboys or Mavericks.
I don't blame him.
Look at this man.
It was delicious. You know, I personally didn't think turkey could get that flavorful.
And turkey can get good.
But by the end of eating it, I was like, damn. Did I cheat? Did I actually cheat because of
were you a guy who didn't like Thanksgiving 5 years ago?
Yes,
like
he talked so much trash
peasant
about Thanksgiving.
Food, right?
Yeah. He didn't like it. It says poverty food, poverty meals.
It is. It is a.
It was so good this year.
Did you get the bird with food stamps? Is that how you got your turkey?
No. But
give me some food stamps. I'll take them.
You know, there's a resale market for those.
Yeah, please give it to me.
I mean, the holiday actually comes from a time where people were starving and dying, right? And they're like, okay, I guess we can scavenge some things to survive the long winter with, thanks to these Native Americans.
I was anti-turkey still until I started making them. So it just turns out my family was bad at preparing turkey.
Yeah, I think, you know what? That might be, I'm not going to talk too much about that. Mom's in town and all that, but
that's it.
She listens too, doesn't she?
Yes.
Hey, how you doing?
Suffice to say, best turkey the Dawson household's ever had. Okay.
Does your mom say you make turkey better than me?
No, she would never say that. She's very proud of her turkey, her turkey stuff too. But let's come back and mix with the Nosebleed Seats, find out what's coming up on their award-winning evening broadcast next in the G-Bag Nation.
Yes, sir. Mesquite Mitsubishi has a brand new Outlander Sport SUV starting at $16,900, y'all. Visit mymitsu.com.
Thank you very much, Lucius. Yeah. And thanks to everybody who's tuned in right here on a Cowboys Monday. Monday Night Football is coming up. Seahawks and Vikings. There's a fun one.
Yeah. I had to tell you what I had to do during the break. I had to get online because I wanted to go see the Duncanville South Lake Carroll game, and there's already ads out or articles saying this game's getting close to being sold out already. So Duncanville's number 3 in the country. South Lake Carroll's number 14 in the country before last week's games. And so South Lake Carroll might move up because Katy, Texas was number 10 in the country, and they just lost to North Shore, who won the state championship last year. So I was like, man, I want to go to this game. It's kind of, to me, the game of the week, especially in the country when two teams like this match up. So got those tickets. It's out in McKinney because we have the Big 12 championship game, so AT&T Stadium's not available. And I assume Frisco wasn't available because maybe the Cowboys are going to be practicing on Saturday. Since they have a Thursday game, I don't know, but they're not playing at the Dallas Cowboys place. That's where they played last year, where Duncanville won 51-7 in that game. So had to go to the best game of the weekend or the week because I would Duncanville South Lake Carroll is going to be a heck of a game, I think.
It's not better than the Sooners and the Bears, sir.
I'm pretty sure it is.
Okay.
They're ranked higher.
Okay.
Well, let's line them up then.
Kerry Hyder and Joe Looney coming up in the Cowboys Hour from 7 to 8.
Looney is fun.
Dude, Looney's the best.
Looney might
be the most entertaining man on the Cowboys right now.
Can we ask him, you know, while the interview's going on right now, why he's not competing for the guard position right now?
That would be an interesting question. I don't know if that's going to come in like that on that particular show.
If I was still on that show, I'd look him dead in the eye and I'd be like, you're better than Suafilo. Why aren't you playing?
That'd be a good one.
That's what I'd do. Dead in the eye, I'd look him.
They're looking for guys that trip over shoelaces for that position.
I wouldn't do that.
And here come the Nosebleeds. They'll be on afterwards from 8 to midnight right here on your home of the Cowboys. Chia Follow and Real Chuck. Good evening to you, gentlemen.
Good evening, General. How are you?
Doing outstanding, man. You guys have a good weekend?
Oh, fantastic, as always. How was your Thanksgiving?
The best.
Was it?
It was great.
Everything turned out? The turkey turned out well?
Yeah, folks were in town, and yeah, I dominated the turkey. I did a full segment on it.
Yeah, well, it sounded delicious. What was your, I was talking with the boss on the other side, so unfortunately I missed that, but what's your favorite Thanksgiving side? That was a heated debate, and do you call it dressing or stuffing?
I call it no thank you.
No thank, you're not into either.
I would call it stuffing and then say no thank you. But yeah.
Really hating on the stuffing, boys? Yeah.
The best side is the roll. Because I love bread.
I'm talking to very simple people when it comes to eating.
Yeah.
Somebody help me out. I didn't know Dawson was that simple. I knew Kavanaugh was.
Okay, help me out. I thought dressing and stuffing were two different things.
Yeah. I was told it's the same thing, and it's just
one's in the bird.
Well, yeah, I think stuffing would be in the bird. Yeah,
so if you put dressing in the bird, it becomes stuffing? Maybe that's it. Nobody knows, really.
I believe so.
36 years old. Figured it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
first time for everything, brother.
Favorite side, my mom makes a scalloped corn. It's like a corn casserole.
Okay.
That's outstanding. It's the only dish in the world with onions in it that I'll eat.
Green beans.
But does pie count? Because I think that would be...
Pie's always number one.
Or, you know, the sweet potatoes. Sweet potatoes with the extra syrup stuff in there.
Reggie share a... looks like a macaroni pie cheese
without
pie.
Pecans?
Yeah, I scraped off the pecans. And
why did you do that?
As you should. As you should.
Unbelievable.
Reggie's all about the mac and cheese.
That's a damn crime.
Yeah. Mac and cheese is amazing.
You get a good homemade mac and cheese?
Absolutely.
It doesn't have to be homemade. No, you just right out of the box.
Out of the box.
Pour right in there, yeah.
That's the only kind I know how to make.
Slap in that stupid, disgusting, gooey cheese.
But I love it so much.
You're good to go, man.
You got to bake mac and cheese.
It's awful. If that was the only mac and cheese that ever existed, I'd think it's the best.
I'm going to go home today, and I'm just going to boil noodles, and when they're done, I'm going to take that shredded cheese that's in the big plastic bag, like the Mexican blend, and just drop it on the noodles and see what happens.
Oh. That sounds outstanding. Just bake it.
Bake it for a while.
Okay. You might need like some half and half in there if you want it creamy, or they'll just like melt like nacho a little cheese bit of milk. Would. Not nacho.
Well, I like that kind of cheese.
You mix the half and half with the cheese first?
Yes.
Okay.
That makes kind of a roux.
Okay.
If you want it, do you want it liquidy or do you want it just like what you'd make Not when I say Joey. Nachos, not nachos Mike, at the game.
Where it's a struggle liquid. Meal. Whatever I'm doing that I just described is going to be a struggle.
Yeah,
so
awful.
I don't want it to be struggle good meal. Anyway. Yeah.
Speaking of a struggle, what do you guys expect from the Cowboys Thursday
wow.
in Chicago?
That's a struggle. Sounds about right.
Yeah,
yes.
it's hard for me to feel great about it. I know that much. I mean, it's Mitch Trubisky, and I know he's coming off a decent game, but I'd like to think that you can beat a team where Mitch Trubisky's the quarterback. But right now, I mean, I've been spurned. I think I have the same record as the Cowboys this year in picking them because I always think they're going to end up figuring it out and beating the team, and no. they haven't done it yet. So
I was having
I don't
a
know.
Bad record until the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, is the writing on the wall that this season is going to crash and burn and maybe we're still in line for a top 10 pick?
I don't know. They're
can't
finally having
bad, right?
I think
Chippy
they go 6-10
practice.
And win the division.
Yeah, that's
it
the
is possible.
Part.
Mathematically, yes.
Wouldn't they have to lose to Philadelphia?
Yeah, but I think that would be Philadelphia's only win the rest of the way, too. So I think you could still make it as mm-hmm. they lose. Because
oh, yeah,
the Redskins are
division.
The best team in this division for the last
they
six
are
games of the year.
Nice.
Yep, if we were 0-0, the Redskins would make it.
And
Mike,
they still got a
Mike,
shot.
When Mike has an emotional reaction
they're 2-0.
To sports,
the last two
just
games
throw
they're 2-0.
Logic out. Just throw it out.
Where are your title hopes completely gone? Do you,
yes.
Is there any way? There's four games to rebuild momentum. They're still fairly healthy. I
yeah,
think it's at least worth a 12 on a scale of 1 to 100.
Listen, Mr. Positive Glass Half Full, Zach Wolchuk, if he's out, there's no way I'm feeling good about it.
Look, you're looking Garrett's at a home coaching. Game against the 49ers or the Seahawks. I know you beat the Seahawks last year, but I don't like the matchups across the board for the Cowboys in that one. It's not impossible. Maybe you win that home wild card game. They're going to go on the road and win the divisional game? I don't see it.
That's why I said this is the perfect Cowboy year. They know that the coach isn't good enough and they're going to let him go. And they get to play in the playoffs just for fun.
And if they get
stopped by.
Are you sure? Fun. Jerry was crying of even the thought of having to let him go.
That's okay. Well, no, that was the thought of firing him.
Like there's
his contract's going to run out.
There's no difference.
Yes, there is. His contract ran out. Jerry didn't fire Jason. Contract ran
I'm
out.
I'm siding with Mike on this one, Jeff.
But there is a difference because it's from Jerry's perspective.
Oh, okay.
I'm not firing
as long
you.
As we're saying it's from Jerry's perspective,
right.
Whatever kind of gymnastics I'm, Jerry has to go
right.
through.
I'm not firing
I get
you,
it.
Jason.
He's still going to cry when he has to not tender him.
He's letting the bird leave the nest. Yeah. Go to the Giants.
Yeah. Finally
Good
developed
luck.
Him. Time to go
with Michael
spread
Lombardi.
Your wings.
The yeah. only person that thinks he's going to the Giants is Garrett's agent.
Okay, where do you guys come out on
in
this
New Jersey media apparently
this discussion that many fan hosts are having right now amongst themselves and with Tolos? How much Mavs are you doing? It, you know, it looks like the Mavs finally crossed the Cowboys as now the most likely team to win the championship in this season, other than the Stars, of course, who might have the best odds of those three
yeah.
teams. But how much Mavs, Stars, Cowboys are you doing? Because the Cowboys talk after about 5 minutes, it seems like it gets a little bit depressing. You know, and maybe that's a beatdown for some people. Meanwhile, you know that there's 10 times as many Cowboys fans as Mavericks fans. So which pond are you fishing in most, gentlemen?
Man, we talked about it earlier. We're going to throw plenty of Mavs in there tonight. That's for sure. I would prefer to talk about the happy things, and the happy things right now are the Mavericks. So, I mean, I was telling Bassick the other day, even when I'm walking around in church after the service, everybody always wants to talk about Cowboys and the game that they have that day. And I remember against the Patriots, that game, which is supposed to be a huge game, everybody's coming out and all they want to talk about is Luka, Luka, Luka. No one really cares about the Cowboys at this point. So I'm like, all right, maybe we should start throwing more Mavs in there.
Yeah, we got Bobby Corella coming on at 8:20 from DallasMavericks.com. And Bobby's a wealth of knowledge, so we can't wait to join him right out of the gate at 8:20. But I still think the Cowboys are the talk of the town. They always will be. This is Texas. Football is king. I will never turn off a Cowboys game to watch the Maverick Stars or Rangers. That will just never happen. That's just how I'm wired. I've got the Blue Star Flu, and I will have it until the day I die. But Mavericks talk is certainly more enjoyable. I find myself getting extremely depressed talking about the Cowboys, and the Mavericks are a great way to uplift those feelings.
With some of these early NBA starts, we might actually get put to a decision more frequently. They're trying to market overseas. They're getting in prime time for people in Latvia and Serbia and China. Spain, places like that.
It'd be wise not to go up against the Cowboys.
I think I yeah. looked at the schedule, and I don't think they cross over.
Oh, don't they?
Yeah, because I was looking at Thursday night. I was like, if the Mavs play Thursday night, I'm watching the Mavs
yeah.
over the Cowboys.
Ooh.
They're getting their back-to-back back out of the way Tuesday, Wednesday before that.
Right, so they're not. And so it looks like the Mavericks won't match up against the Cowboys. But at this point, I would be 100% Mavs, and the Cowboys can do whatever they want to do.
If the Cowboys, the season ended and we hear Chris Peterson's a finalist, he just stepped down from University of Washington, would that excite you? And do you think there's any chance that that develops here over the next month and a half?
I don't know that it would. It would be interesting. There's a lot of Boise State connections here with this team. We had a lot of Boise State players. They seem to value what Chris Peterson did there, and I thought he did a good job with Washington. But, man, I don't know that it would really excite me. I think, honestly, if you're going to go the college route, Urban Meyer would excite me more than Chris Peterson.
Swing for the fences, boys. Chris Peterson's not a fence.
Lincoln Riley!
All right.
Oh, Lincoln Riley would definitely excite me more.
All right, here we go. It's the Cowboys Hour with Kerry Hyder and Joe Looney. And until tomorrow afternoon at 2 p.m., you're going home with the G-Bag Nation. Salute.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.